future pipelines of nurses really need to be prepared. We need to be able to, you know, attract the right talent.
So that's why the academic practice partnerships are so critical.
Most people want to be where they're most comfortable, and that's their home environment.
This is Kathy Driscoll, Chief Nursing Officer at Humana. Welcome to The Voice of Humana Nurses, a podcast about clinicians committed to improving lives. Join me, other nurses from Humana, and special guests as we discuss topics nurses care about.
Hi, this is Kathy Driscoll, Chief Nursing Officer at Humana. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode on The Voice of Humana Nurses podcast.
To set some context for the conversation we're going to have today, I'd like to read a brief excerpt from the Future of Nursing 2020 to 2030 report. It's titled Charting a Path to Achieve Health Equity, and here it is. To build a future workforce that effectively provides the health and healthcare that society needs will require a substantial increase in the numbers, types, and distribution of the nursing workforce, as well as an education system that better prepares nurses for practicing in community-based settings with diverse populations that face a variety of lived experiences. So there's our challenge. And today, I'd like to dive a little more deeply into this topic, specifically focusing on the importance of academic practice partnerships in reimagining the profession and in preparing new nurses to practice in complex and varying practice settings. So I'm really excited that today I'm joined by two nurses, two great nurse leaders, and two advocates of our nursing profession. And I'm excited about the opportunity that we have to discuss and get the insights from these nurse leaders about what we need to do to support the development of our future nurses. So with me today, I'd like to welcome Dr. Bethann Swan, Professor, Associate Dean, and Vice President for Academic Practice Partnerships at Emory University. Dr. Swan is also the Executive Director for the Emory Nursing Learning Center at the Nell Hodgson Woodruff School of Nursing and co-director for the Woodruff Health Sciences Center for Interprofessional Education and Clinical Practice Office at Emory University. Welcome, Bethann. And my second guest is Emory Kent, who's the Director of Clinical Strategy and Engagement and a part of our Chief Nursing Office here at Humana. So I'd like to welcome both of you to the Voice of the Humana Nurses podcast. And I'd like to thank you for carving out some time to spend with me and with our listeners today. So let's start by getting the conversation rolling and getting to know you a little better. For starters, can you tell our listeners where you're joining from today, and in a few words, a little bit about your career journey as a nurse? Emory, why don't you start us off?
Thanks, Kathy. As Kathy said, my name is Emory Kent, and I'm the Director for Clinical Strategy and Engagement on Humana's Chief Nursing Office team, and I'm joining from my home office in Atlanta, Georgia. So my nursing journey started back, when I graduated with my BSN from Stanford University in 2010. And immediately thereafter, I started working in a level 4 regional neonatal intensive care unit just down the road in Birmingham, Alabama. And this is really where I found my passion for nursing education and was given my first opportunity to have a nursing leadership role. I was a charge nurse, a preceptor, and always assisting with unit education initiatives. And while I was working in the NICU, I earned my MSN in nursing education, again from Stanford University. And from there, my husband's job transferred us to Atlanta, Georgia, where I started working in academia. So I was in academia for a little over 5 years, most recently, with Emory School of Nursing, and then a little over a year ago, I joined Humana to really focus on nursing workforce and development strategies on the Chief Nursing Office team and with a specific focus on building academic partnerships for workforce sustainability.
Thanks, Emory. What a great background, and you know we're happy to have you with us. Bethann, can you share a little bit about your background with us?
Yes, thank you, Kathy, for the invitation to participate in the podcast today. And so I'm joining from the Emory Nursing Learning Center at the Nell Hotch and Woodruff School of Nursing. And a little bit about my career journey as a nurse, and I'll say my short 40 plus year career journey as a nurse has been rich with people and possibilities. My journey has taken me from practice in the hospital to ambulatory care to the community. And my area of expertise is in care coordination and care transitions. And I knew early on that my viewpoint was care beyond the hospital walls. And so very shortly after working in a hospital, I did change my focus to ambulatory care. I am a nurse practitioner and also went on to complete my PhD, where my research focused on how patients did after ambulatory surgery when going home to care for themselves.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Bethann. And, you know, it is amazing how much of the care continuum has shifted and really our focus today in the post-acute world. Acute care hospitals, super important, of course, but we think of this continuum of care. I think it's so important that we prepare our future nurses for all practice settings. So I appreciate your background. You know, the pandemic has really exacerbated challenges that we already knew were there with our nursing workforce. And at the same time, really fundamentally forced our healthcare industry to rethink how care can be delivered. I think we've learned a lot over the past 2.5 years, and each practice setting has had its unique needs. Bethann, do you think you could share some of the big challenges that academia wrestled with as you worked to really think about how to give your nursing students clinical experience? We know that's so critical in preparing our nurses to practice, and here you were faced with all these restrictions.
Considering challenges or looking at the pandemic as a challenge, we really looked and work to create a new academic practice partnership opportunity and opportunities, really looking more big picture than solely clinical experiences and taking a longer view of responding to future disruptions when there is a huge catastrophe, if you will, somewhere in the country. You know, we have an emergency response system, and what we realized very quickly with our academic practice partners was we really didn't have a collaborative emergency preparedness plan and really focused to say, okay, let's seize this opportunity to really look at our key practice and education missions to see how we would work together, communicate, coordinate, drive and manage priorities and processes. So what we came up with was creating this ongoing evaluation of the balance between what we call the steady state and the dynamic state. So we looked at the steady state as the continuous operation of mission critical practice and education functions that are really essential to the health and safety of the people we take care of, as well as our students, our nurse, professional nurses, our faculty, and our staff. And then we came to realize that, you know, that steady state was disrupted, and we were now in what we were going to call the dynamic state, where we really needed to address special circumstances in mission-critical practice and education functions, and whether the response, you know, it could have been a small scale, but we knew we were in the midst of a widespread disruption in continuous operations. And we really needed to have a unified coordination team with really guiding principles. And I'd say the one question I had that kind of drove some of these guiding principles was, you know, are learners expendable in a time of crisis? Because what we saw immediately was, students can't come to clinical. We really figured out that we really had to have more of a collaborative adaptive leadership model where that was locally focused on implementation, not only in the academic and clinical arenas, but also community settings. We talked about this notion of having a shared risk conscious culture. We never want to put anyone at risk, but we knew in the profession we were in, we had to create some sort of a shared risk conscious culture. We knew we had to have, rather than there's no clinical, we realized very early on we needed to have some kind of tiered responses. We had to have a readiness to act. And above all, we really needed to have a unity of effort so that as partners, we were really together on what we were doing. And above all, you know, whatever we were going to do had to be scalable, flexible, and adaptable, because as we all know, during the pandemic, you know, it was a roller coaster ride. Clearly, our learners are not expendable in the time of crisis, that we need them more than ever.
I really love that quotation, that learners are not expendable in the time of crisis. And one might even argue it's even more important to support learners. And I love how you really just didn't respond to the immediate need, but really thought about sustainability. So thank you so much for sharing the thought process and you know, what you went through during that really difficult time. I think it'll prepare the organization well for the future. As you said, we definitely hope that there's not a next time like that, but we've realized we need to be better prepared for whatever comes our way. So, Emory, as we watch healthcare really undergo transformation, a much needed transformation, we know that nurses continue to be such an important part of driving the system and really of driving transformation. And all at the same time, the role of nurses is changing. Future pipelines of nurses really need to be prepared to practice in increasingly complex and varying practice settings. You know, it's medical issues, behavioral health issues, social determinant issues. As we think about this, from your perspective, what are some key aspects of the nursing profession that really we need to reimagine so that we can truly prepare our graduates to be practice ready?
You know, ultimately, I think it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. I think we tend to lump nurses into one big group, but nurses aren't just one big population of people with the same needs. We have more generations in the workforce now more than ever, and with the exit of our mature workforce, you know, pretty soon the large majority will be Gen Xers and millennials like myself. Many with families, needing flexibility, and really different work environments. And, you know, we know it's not the same environment we all entered in. We have a focus on caring for an aging population. We know that healthcare is shifting away from acute care to a more population health and home care model. Health equity is absolutely top of mind. And we're still trying to continue to navigate COVID-19 and the effects of that. And ultimately, all of these things, like you said, are impacting how we prepare new grads and transition them into practice. And it's a lot, and we're going to have to be creative. And so I think there's a few things, though, that can help us. So one, I think we need to be creative in our talent acquisition strategies. We need to be able to, you know, attract the right talent through really meaningful, hands-on, positive quality clinical placement experiences. I think we really have a duty to prepare nurses on the front end rather than depending on residency programs to do all the work on the back end. And ultimately, you know, asking ourselves, is this experience really giving the student the broad skills and information they need to practice in this, you know, continuously evolving and complex environment? And then also, can this also, you know, potentially spark an interest in a future career? So the next, I think, we need to structure and tailor our residency and transition to practice programs a little differently. With the influx of our second degree nursing programs, like our accelerated BSN programs, master's in nursing or MN programs, we just have a huge amount of students entering the workforce with tons of valuable prior professional experience outside of nursing. We're also welcoming students into areas they were not necessarily welcomed into before. I'll put an example out there, just like home health. So we have to be really diligent in how we're preparing this next generation for complex roles while also capitalizing on that prior professional experience they have and ensuring they have that skill set they need to function. I think we just really need to prepare their mindsets and skill sets for a career, not a specialty. You know, we know that this new generation, I shouldn't say new, but rather a couple of generations that we're going to see coming into the workforce are seeking more flexibility, and they most likely will not stay in the role that they started in. They're also filling more leadership positions, you know, than they ever were before. And as more baby boomer nurses retire out, we're going to see, again, more Gen X and millennials fill leadership roles. And so we need to make sure this is an avenue that they're really prepared for to keep developing and expanding our profession.
Thanks, Emery. You know, so true. We really hear that one of the highest areas of value that nurses are identifying is flexibility. And I think we see more than ever that nurses during their career are in more than one practice area. And it didn't always used to be the case. So, you know, I think that you're right, the preparation is for these more transferable skills that provide a foundation, that provide some confidence. And, you know, I think everything that you said leads right into the next topic or the next question that I wanted to discuss. Academic practice partnerships certainly play a big role in how we might think about supporting the nursing workforce of the future. You really pointed out it's not just academia, it's not just future workplaces. How do we work together to ensure that our future workforce is prepared, that education and a career is accessible, and how do we think about attracting prospective nurses into the profession? How do we inspire them? So maybe, Bethann, can you talk a little bit about what these types of academic practice partnerships mean, how they can help change the paradigm a little bit, and how they can best support helping to get our future nurses practice ready?
Okay, so you use the word inspire, and I think that's really important as we look to create this new education paradigm to prepare what we're calling practice-ready nurses. Our students want to be inspired. Our students want to be acknowledged for everything they bring with them to education. And in the same vein, our nurse educators are really accountable to keep education responsive to the ever-changing healthcare delivery environment. And as, you know, Emery mentioned, you know, the changing context of healthcare delivery requires focusing on population health, social determinants, providing interprofessional team-based care, advancing innovation. And these are just a few of the items we need to consider when we're looking at changing this paradigm. Emery mentioned, you know, our graduates, they need to be agile. They need to be able to think and reason on their feet so that when they leave us, whether they go to home care, whether they go to a dialysis outpatient unit, that they are prepared to think and reason on their feet, because whatever environment they're in, the care complexity is way beyond the hospital walls. You see the care complexity in your home care, your hospice. This also changes the care needs of individuals and families who are often caring for this complexity outside the watchful eye of providers. We're looking at advancing technology. And also, I can't emphasize enough the managing of multiple transitions. So it used to be if you were a nurse, the person was in the bed in front of you, and you, that's what you focused on. You cared for the person in the bed. Well, nowadays, we need to know, our students need to know, our practicing nurses need to know, where did that person come from and where is that person going? So it's no longer they're laying in the bed. It's, as Kathy said earlier, that care continuum. And how did they transition? Why are they now in the hospital from where they came from? And where are they going to transition to? And again, it's not just one transition. There's going to be multiple transitions across this care continuum that individuals will be walking and journeying on. Our nursing curriculum needs a radical shift. The paradigm from caring for patients to caring for people. We have to transform from a disease-based acute care-focused curriculum to one that promotes a culture of health and multiple new and emerging roles for registered nurses. We just have to do it. We have to be thinking beyond practice as we traditionally think about it. So that's why the academic practice partnerships are so critical. We can't be educating for what's happening now. We need to be educating for what we don't know is going to be happening. Having our nursing students at community organizations, community development corporations, engaged in cross-sector collaboration, places and locations where there are no nurses right now. That's where the people are living. That's where the people are seeking care. That's where they're getting health promotion. That's where we want to keep them well. We want to keep them well as people. We don't want them to become patients. We want our nursing students to be in that paradigm of not reacting when a person's in the hospital, but keeping them out of the hospital.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, and I love your passion around this. Our listeners know I feel that I've learned the most about the context that people live in, that communities exist in, and how they support or don't support one another from my experiences in home health and in the community. We talk about a holistic focus, and I think, it's a very different focus when you see a person in the setting, in the community they live in the home they live in. I couldn't agree more. And I think, from those who are receiving care, most people want to be where they're most comfortable, and that's their home environment. So the more we can get our future nurses comfortable there, the better. And I think we went through several eras of people had to go straight to a specialty, and that was wonderful for some of our colleagues. But really to have that flexibility and to take what you know, what you've learned, and take it from practice setting to practice setting or new settings that aren't even practice settings today, as you say, I just think that that's the flexibility that we as the healthcare industry and we as a nursing profession need. So I really appreciate your passion there. Thank you. So a specific example that I'd like to talk about, a specific example of an innovative academic practice partnership is the state-of-the-art home health simulation lab that we've created. We've partnered between Emory School of Nursing and CenterWell Home Health, which is a part of Humana. Maybe Emory and then Bethann, if you could both talk a little bit about why Emory School of Nursing and CenterWell Home Health decided that this was a good time to make sure that we were exposing our future nurses to what a home-like environment is and how you provide care there. And again, hoping to inspire thoughts about this as a career for some of our nurses.
I think that, one of the results from COVID, like Bethann said, was for us to really, creatively think a little outside of the box and take a moment and pause and re-envision what the future looks like. And home health was definitely in that future. And I really hope that students are able to see a glimpse of their future self when they're learning in the new simulation lab. I think we all had experiences in nursing school where we probably didn't see our future self in that role, but I really hope that, you know, by having the simulation lab, that people are able to walk in there, have that experience that they wouldn't have had otherwise, and walk in and say, wow, I can really see myself doing this one day.
Yeah, Bethann, what's your vision for this partnership, and what kind of prompted Emory School of Nursing to think about including home health as a part of your broader learning center?
The lab is so visionary and provides a great opportunity for our students. It's having been there, having been doing tours, having seen the students there, it's just better than I think we ever imagined. And while the School of Nursing, we've always been out front in providing student experiences beyond the hospital walls, I think nationally we know that care is moving to the ambulatory and home settings, and that the care that is delivered, the complexity of care that's delivered in an ICU and an acute care setting, that care is as complex, if not more, when it's happening in the home, when it's happening beyond the hospital walls. Over 80% of surgeries are performed in ambulatory settings, and people go home to care for themselves out of the watchful eye of providers. But, you know, there were 3.3 million Medicare beneficiaries who received home health care services, and 1.6 million Medicare beneficiaries that received hospice services. And the number of providers in home health and the hospice sector have been steadily increasing, as you all know. So in addition to what we envision for the home lab, you think about the traditional things, you know, the home environment assessment, fall risk, activities of daily living, nutrition. I think we need to start thinking about telehealth. We saw a lot of that, and that's here to stay. We also, you know, remote monitoring. So we're really excited for our students to get more into remote monitoring. And the home lab gives us that ability with both having flat screen in the apartment and then also being able to have a telehealth area where we can operationalize that. I think, and that's more of a micro level of, you know, what we teach our students. But I think another piece of this that we need to be considering is at the macro level. So do our students understand about home health value-based purchasing? Do they know what that is? Do they know why that is? They may have heard of it when they were on acute care rotation, but I think we need to be sharing and showing our students the bigger picture of why there is care in the home, what that care is, what a bundle looks like, why there is a bundle, and linking that to quality, to linking it to safety. And, you know, this new patient-driven grouping model for home care, like all these things that are coming out are impacting the care nurses would deliver to individuals. And I think our students need to understand how the bigger picture of policy and economics is really influencing what home care is and really what home care could be and will be in the future.
And thank you, Bethann and Emory both. I know there's been so much work on this, and I really think that you know, it's innovative. I think it's set up so that it can be something that provides a foundation for the future. It can change as we want it to. And we really look forward to continuing a very collaborative partnership as well. So thank you, Bethann. Thank you, Emory. And thank you to everyone at Emory School of Nursing. Really looking forward to seeing what the future brings there. So, I
could really talk about this forever, and it's so enjoyable, but I think our time is coming a little bit to a close. So I have one last question for each of you. We've talked about inspiring future nurses, and I think all three of us can say that we've been inspired and continue to be inspired along the way. That's what brings us to this field. That's what keeps us passionate here. But for anyone who's a prospective nurse listening in, what would you recommend? Why would you recommend that they choose nursing as a career? Emery, do you want to start?
Sure. So I think if you're looking for a purpose-driven career, this is it. In many areas of nursing, you really have the opportunity to impact others on a daily basis. And I think also another major perk is that the opportunities are endless and flex with your stage of life. If you're a new grad up for adventure, go do travel nursing. If you want to go back to school, many times your employer will help pay for that. If it's time to start a family, you can find a setting that works for you at that time. So I really couldn't be more thankful for the people before me who prepared me and encouraged me to be the nurse I am today. I truly love this profession.
Well said, well said. Beth Ann, how about you?
So I'm going to connect this question with the vision about the home lab. Imagine we have the home lab now. Imagine leveraging the home lab as a living laboratory. And Emery mentioned second degree students. For those second degree students who may have been engineers, designers, whatever they may have been, having that living laboratory to design, test new workflows, test new devices, be the inventor, identifying a problem in the home and inventing that solution, thinking about wearables, how are we going to leverage that home lab, that living laboratory to really begin to think about wearables, remote monitoring, and then ultimately predicting care needs at home. If you can dream it, you can do it as a nurse.
So well said. I love that. And both of you have such a passion for the nursing profession. And I hope that those listening are inspired, those who are nurses, to really think about what don't you think is attainable now? How can you get there? How can you create it? You know, it is limitless. Nursing has an infinite number of areas that are practiced in today, and as Beth Ann pointed out early, are maybe some areas that we never even thought of. And to those who are not nurses, I hope you were inspired by our conversation to think about nursing, whether it's to become a nurse yourself, to have a greater appreciation for nurses, for the way that they learn and the way that they practice. So Beth Ann, Emery, thank you so, so much for our conversation today. Really inspires me.
And to our listeners, thank you for listening to today's episode. I encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Google Play by searching the words The Voice of Humana Nurses. And we'd love to hear from you as well. So send us an email at chiefnursingofficer@humana.com and give us your comments and your suggestions about topics or people you want to hear about or hear from. So until the next time, thank you and be well.